Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, July the 7th, 7-7. You know, I'm old enough to remember when it was July the 7th, 1977, and it was 7-7-7-7. That's pretty cool. I remember that. I remember that quite well. But anyway, July the 7th, very warm here in North Texas. A little humidity is what making all of this a bit unbearable up here in North Texas. Well, today we're going to talk about a few things. President Trump is back in the news, but we begin with a post that I published this morning over at the American Thinker called Love It or Leave It. Now, if you're old enough to remember 1977 like I am, then you probably remember some bumper stickers back in the 70s, and they would say, America, love it or leave it. And, you know, they were everywhere. It seems like everywhere you looked, there was one bumper sticker like that. And a lot of people used to get very offended by that, say, oh, come on, you're so intolerant. You know, you don't want to hear a different point of view. And that's not the point of love it or leave it. It was not unconditional love. It was just, you know, if you don't like it, leave the country. Well, I think we've reached the point where it may be time to dig up those bumper stickers or at least publish some new ones, print some new ones. Because I think we have reached the point where people need to be reminded that America is a great country, and if you don't like it, there's lots of places to go to. And, of course, I'm talking about the July 4th weekend when you have these members of Congress saying that the Declaration of Independence was only for white people, and then you had, you know, NPR doing this atrocious reading of the Declaration of Independence, reminding everybody that it didn't apply to women, and it didn't apply to blacks. And, of course, the ladies who play soccer, they were going to play a game, and I guess they didn't salute the flag, although later they said, no, that's not what happened. I guess they were positioned the wrong way. Okay, that's the case. But the bottom line is that there's a bunch of people out there who hate the country, who always find reasons to hate the country, and I think it's time to level with these people and say, look, show me or tell me where else you would rather live, and we'll be happy to fly you there. Because if you do not understand, I mean, if you say that the Declaration of Independence is hypocritical because it didn't include women or it didn't include blacks, that was basically a document signed by white men, if you say that, then not only are you an idiot, but you're historically ignorant. In 1776, when that document was written, I don't know of a single country where women had the right to vote or held public office. Now, there were some princes and queens and all of that, but that was different. That was different. That was royalty. But I don't know of any other country where women were given the right to vote. In fact, in the United States and in most of the world, women did not get the right to vote until the 20th century, 1921, I think, in the United States, most countries about that time. Just to somehow criticize the Declaration of Independence or the United States because in 1776 it didn't include women, well, come on. I mean, that's just plain historical ignorance. Now, the other one, of course, is that it didn't include blacks. No, it didn't, because blacks in 1776 were not citizens of the United States. They were slaves, and most of them living in the South at the time. But slavery was not something that only the United States had. Unfortunately, slavery was very common in the world in the 18th century when that declaration was signed. In fact, the United States was willing to put something in its Constitution 100 years later, the 13th Amendment, that made slavery unconstitutional. So the same document, the same Declaration of Independence that said that all men are created equal, went the distance 100 years later when the 13th Amendment was put in the Constitution saying that slavery was unconstitutional. And incredible things have been done over the last 30 or 40 years to correct a lot of these mistakes. And for people to keep pounding on this all the time, rather than take advantage of the opportunities that they have in this great country today, you know, you reach a point where you say, folks, if you don't like it, there's the door, there's the airport, and leave. So this post that I wrote today, I'm calling on people to you know, we got to get back on our feet. We got to get in the face of these people and say, love it or leave it. You don't like it? Hey, leave. And find me somewhere else in the world where a black person can live better than in the United States. You know, I have many friends from Africa who go to our church. Most of them are from Nigeria, but there are several from Ghana and the Ivory Coast and all of that who go to our church. And I've talked to them about this. And they say, this is the best place in the world. The United States is the best place in the world for a black person. Again, nobody denies the past. Nobody denies that injustices happen. But we got to live at the moment. We got to live in the present. And we got to take advantage of the opportunities that we have now. And I think a lot of these people who are just pounding on every imperfection of the country, they just don't love the country. They're negative people who are not contributing anything. And I think in many cases, they're race hustlers who benefit from making people feel like, you know, just, you know, using the race issue for their own benefit. Like Maxine Waters is one who comes to mind, the reverend from New York, whatever his name is. Jesse Jackson, too, when he was a lot younger, was the same way. So love it or leave it. You know, love it or leave it. That's my message. If you don't like the country, leave it. Go find somewhere else where you, you know, go ahead and find a country that has some of the things that we don't have and, you know, go live there. Enjoy it. We won't miss you. We won't miss any of you if you decide to take your act somewhere else. But it's getting very old. This is getting obnoxious over here. These people are really getting obnoxious, and I'm really hoping that there's a huge backlash coming in 2022, and we can sort of, you know, put things on a more even keel, because it's totally out of control. These people are not helping the country with the things that they are saying, and in fact, I think they're dividing the country more than it's been divided for at least as far back as I can remember. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on a warm, very warm and humid afternoon here in Dallas, Texas. Well, President Trump came out today, and he's suing social media, namely Facebook and Twitter and Google. And he's basically saying that these companies are no longer operating under Section 230 because they've become political players. And he's exactly right. He is exactly right. When you have Facebook and Twitter basically tip their hand, and let's say during the campaign when they wouldn't publish, 30 days before the election, they wouldn't publish the articles about Hunter Biden. Well, that tells me that they've got a partisanship problem. You know, Facebook and Twitter are supposed to be forums where people publish what they want to publish. If you don't like what I post, you can delete me. I don't like what you post, I can delete you. I can delete you from my list of contacts. I don't have to follow you if I don't like what you're posting, but you should have the right to post whatever you want to post. And Facebook and Twitter have broken, I think, their arrangement or their commitment to Section 230 of the law of communication law. So I think it's time to blow them up. I really do. And President Trump, I don't know how far this lawsuit is going to go. Do remember that there is a lawsuit in Florida, which was a law that was signed by the governor in Florida that is currently in the courts, that basically says the same thing that President Trump is saying. So maybe this is the one. But I think for the good of the country, forget Trump. I know that a lot of people get obsessed with Trump. Forget Trump. For the benefit of the country, I think it would be a good deal for the benefit of the country if Facebook and Twitter were sort of put back in their place. And they're either going to be Section 230 or they're going to be political partisans. But they can't be both. They cannot be both. And I think it's about time that we have a discussion in the country about this. We need a conversation in the country as to what exactly is the role of a social media company that benefits from government protection on one hand, but on the other hand is as partisan as any magazine or any newspaper. You know, it's one thing for the New York Times to have an editorial section. That's fine. Or for the New York Times to let's say, lean to the left. That's okay. But they're not pretending to be protected under Section 230, as Facebook and Twitter are. So I hope the president succeeds in, at the very least, forcing the country to have a conversation about this. And I would think that this is an issue that a Democrat would have an interest in. I don't think this is a partisan issue at all, because Facebook could be used the other way. And it's not healthy for the democracy to stifle speech. It's just not healthy. Let everybody put whatever they want to put. Again, you can delete it. If I don't like what you're writing, I can delete it. Many times I've done that on Facebook, and I'm not on Twitter anymore, but when I was on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, I saw something I didn't like. Well, I deleted the person, or I just deleted the comment, or didn't follow the person. But I don't believe in censorship. I just don't think censorship is a healthy thing for the country. Well, we have a governor's race here in Texas coming up in 22, and some polling data came out. There is a actor, I can't think of his name right now, who's thinking about running for governor, but he hasn't decided. But the interesting thing about the polling data is that in a poll between Governor Abbott and Beto O'Rourke, Governor Abbott was up by 13 points. I think that's very interesting, a super interesting detail that I wonder if Beto is even going to run when he sees polling data like that. I think if he sees a lot more of these polls, I don't think he's going to run. I think he's going to back out and say, you know what, I'm going to think about it for some other time. Well, President Biden is in the Windy City of Chicago right now, this afternoon, this evening, and I guess he's talking to the mayor of Chicago. Chicago is, really a disgrace, what's happening up there. The levels of killing and violence that are being tolerated in that city by the political class is just totally unacceptable. And something has to be done. Now, I have no idea where the governor is, why the governor is not involved in shutting down this crime. He could put the National Guard in the city of Chicago and fairly quickly restore order in many of those streets. Or the mayor of Chicago could take a tougher hand. But, you know, the shooting gallery that Chicago has become, that section of Chicago, it's not the whole city, just that section, is shameful. And when you hear of all these kids being killed, there was a student who was caught up in a shootout the other day. I mean, it's just terrible. Absolutely horrible. And it has to stop. Well, in New York City, they apparently have a new mayor, a fellow named Eric Adams. He won the Democrat primary, so that should guarantee that he's going to be elected. What's interesting about this fellow Adams is that he ran on a let's get tough with criminals platform. And he's, you know, he's a Democrat who believes that you have to have safe streets. And frankly, this may be the model for other Democrats to follow, because Democrats have lost control of these cities. And the crime is not only hurting people in the sense that people are getting killed, but the crime is also helping these cities or hurting these cities in terms of getting businesses to move there. I think people are fleeing these cities because they're not safe. So economically, this policy of tolerating all this violence has not been good for these cities. They're losing money. They're losing taxpayers. And hopefully this election in New York City opens up a few brains, if you will, in the Democrat Party, and they begin to realize that what they are doing, tolerating all this crime, is actually hurting their city and hurting their economy a lot more than they realize. Well, July the 7th, lucky 7, 7-7, we say happy birthday today to perhaps one of the luckiest men in the history of the world, and that's Ringo Starr of the Beatles. Ringo Starr was a drummer in Liverpool. He played in different bands. And in the summer of 1962, George Martin, who was producing the Beatles at the time, said, you guys need a new drummer. You got to replace your drummer. Pete Best was the original drummer with the Beatles. And he said, you got to replace him because he's not up to the job. So Ringo Starr became the drummer of the Beatles. And 2 months later, they had a hit record on the radio in England. And, of course, 2 years later, well, you know what happened in the United States. So happy number 81 to Ringo Starr. Good drummer. He was a good drummer. And I think one of the luckiest people ever. I mean, imagine going from being a drummer in a Liverpool band to being the drummer in the Beatles. Man, what an amazing stroke of luck that was for Ringo Starr. Happy number 81, Ringo. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.